2022 saw the 40th anniversary of the Falklands conflict. British forces set sail for the South Atlantic to retake the Falkland Islands from the invading Argentinian army. Now, there were losses and injuries on both sides, with the British forces victorious in the end. Now, many veterans have received help from charities up and down the country as time has gone on, and Blind Veterans is one of those which looks after the men and women in our armed forces, whatever age they are. Now, Steve Tuffin has also received help from Blind Veterans UK. He is a veteran of the Falklands conflict. Steve, thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So, Steve, take us back a little bit. Why did you join the armed forces?
It's something I'd always wanted to do, from being knee-high to a grasshopper, really. And from about the age of 7, I think, was something I always wanted to do, is be a soldier.
So what regiment did you join?
I joined the parachute regiment.
Was that something that appealed to you, that particular regiment, or were you just looking to sign up?
Initially, was looking to sign up. It was when I was actually at the selection centre, where you fill in the application forms, you're given physical and academic tests and things like that. And they basically said that I'd be an ideal candidate for the parachute regiment, which is what I ended up joining. I joined as a junior para at 16, then went to recruit company, did my training to be a fully-fledged paratrooper, and then was assigned to 2 para, 2nd Battalion Parachute Regiment.
That must have been an exciting moment for you and your family as well.
Yes, very much so. And to achieve that dream was great. And to be part of the Parachute Regiment and Airborne family was just the next level, if you like. It was really good for me.
Is it like a family? We hear about the family within the armed forces. Is it really like that?
Definitely. I joined 2 Para in the February of 1982 after finishing my training. We sailed for the Falklands in April, and I was shot on the 28th of May, the Battle of Goose Green. And so I was only in battalion a very short while, although I spent a year in hospital being treated for my injuries. The guys treat me as though I'd been with them years and always try to look after us. And I'm one of them, I'm not treated as a new boy or anything like that.
It's a really short space of time then from, becoming a fully fledged para to seeing action. Was that a surprise that you were heading out there? Or again, was that quite an exciting time? That's probably a strange word to use.
The very initial thoughts was it would be a show of strength and the Argentines would leave. But certainly in my mind, that changed fairly quickly as we were going down, when you saw the footage of what was happening down in the Falkland Islands. We were in San Carlos waters, which was nicknamed Bomb Alley. So we saw an awful lot of the ships being hit, and the aircraft would strafe us on the way through, because 2 Para were up on Sussex Mountains. Basically, when we were on the approach to Goose Green, we were at a place called Camilla Creek House. What we were meant to do was rest up and get prepared, ready for the approach and the fight battling to Darwin and Goose Green. But the BBC kindly announced and told the world that 2 Para were preparing to do this. So that was the end of settling down, and we had to sort of spend that time avoiding airstrikes and the Argentine enemy finding us.
It's kind of hard to imagine, I think, for any of us, being in that situation. We see conflict on the television, we're kind of separated from that, but to actually be there, I suppose the emotions must have been really mixed up and flowing at the time.
It was towards that announcement, because it changed the whole approach to what we were able to do. So, for instance, we were just about to get a brew on and get some food down our necks, which would have only been light snacks, because that's all we carried. It changed the whole dynamic. So rather than having a nice cup of coffee, cup of tea, and preparing your weapon and things, where we had to bug out and move around and avoid enemy contacts, really. Our section, or our platoon, I was part of A Company 2 Para, which was the company that assaulted a place called Darwin, which was just outside Goose Green, which was where Colonel Jones was killed. We were advancing to contact towards Darwin, came under fire, and our section went right flanking to try and outflank the enemy, while the rest of the platoon went left into the Gorse Gully that most people have heard of. So basically, we were isolated. I've got no memory of what happened, but it was basically about 4 hours, 4 to 5 hours before the guys could even get back to me because of the battle being so intense. I had it described to me that if anyone has ever seen or heard the Band of Brothers series, that there's a guy there who's actually isolated, and they show whenever his mates go to try and help, they get shot at, and they also shoot the guy who's injured. And it was a similar sort of scenario with myself.
What was your first memory after it then?
My first proper memory would have been when I came round in the ambulance ship, which was HMS Hydra. Prior to that, from information I've been given and found out, was I was casavac from Darwin and Goose Green I arrived in Ajax Bay at about 5 o'clock in the evening, which meant I was shot at first light, which would have been fairly early on, about 8 o'clock. I was then treated as best as they could for the head injuries, because I was actually shot in the head, which has caused the visual impairment. But there were no neurosurgeons in Ajax Bay, so they just did the best they could to patch us up. And then I went on to the hospital ship to Uganda, spent time on there, which I have no memory of, and believe I was totally blind at the time. Although when I got onto the Hydra, a little bit of my vision did return. So my first real memories were on the Hydra, and the guys, they were normal Metlows, but they did such a good job looking after us. It was brilliant.
Was there a period of convalescence or rehabilitation? Do you remember much there?
When I first went into Queen Elizabeth's Military Hospital, which was on Woolwich, I had a little bit of eyesight, but it was like you was looking through tears all the time. I was then operated on by a neurosurgeon in the Mords, who removed fragments of bone and foreign bodies from my brain. And that's when this little sight I've got became clear, and I could see everything. But because of where the injury was a 7.62 high velocity round to the head, so it did quite a lot of damage. And part of the issues afterwards was, as well as the sight loss, although I could see a little bit, I struggled with my reading and writing because the cognitive side was also affected due to the injury.
Did rehabilitation help with that, with the cognitive side?
Yes, I had speech therapy for quite a long time, but I was lucky because I was in a military hospital, and I was with a couple of guys from our sister battalion, the 3rd Battalion, the Parachute Regiment, who were on the same ward as myself. And they were just fantastic guys, and they helped with the recovery because of the support they offered and gave as well.
Did you receive a lot of support there? Because, you know, when you think about what everything you've been through, you know, psychologically, the physical stuff, you know, the sight issues as well, that would be a huge amount for someone to deal with in one go.
I had support for the first year by the military. But unfortunately, what happened was my unit, 2nd Battalion, went on an active tour to Belize, which meant I couldn't go with them. I was then called up in front of the army for a medical review board, and medically discharged. And to be honest, that was a hard day, because I didn't get a chance to say goodbye to my mates. They didn't get a chance to say goodbye to me. And also, all of a sudden, I'm in Civvy Street, where life is so different, especially with the restrictions due to my visual impairment that I suffered, you know.
Being medically discharged itself, you know, that sounds as if it was, for you anyway, almost as difficult as dealing with the injuries.
Yes, it was, because being a soldier was something I'd wanted to do from a very young age. And to achieve my dream was brilliant, you know, and to be part of the Parachute Regiment, I felt so proud. And then to have everything sort of snatched away from you very, very quickly was very difficult to take at the time.
When it came to going back onto Civvy Street, then you were out of the army. Did you receive help from any other charities? Did you reach out to any others?
I was very lucky that I received the help. People were maybe aware of my situation. The Royal British Legion helped at the time. They offered sheltered placement schemes. So they helped me find a job and persuaded a company to employ me. And so I worked, you know, I've worked up till, I'd say maybe about 10 years ago, whereas the sort of decline in my health and everything that, you know, I had to medically retire.
When did you come across the charity Blind Veterans UK?
It was a fair while after the Falklands, because Blind Veterans had certain criteria you needed to reach, which at the time I didn't. But as things changed, then I qualified for Blind Veterans, and they have been so helpful, like using the Alexa app and things like that, have basically made things so much easier for myself.
Were you surprised at the help and support that was out there?
Yes, very much so. I wasn't aware of like the screen magnifiers, the software available to help read your documents. If you have a letter, it can be read to you through different software applications. And Blind Veterans have been absolutely brilliant in guiding us and helping us with the aids that are available.
What about, though, the kind of camaraderie side of things? Did you find that in Blind Veterans and the Royal British Legion as well? Because, you know, we think about the practical things, that they're great, but, you know, having that people support is also perhaps sometimes even better.
Yeah, yes, very much so. I mean, I'm very lucky with Blind Veterans. There's another Falklands veteran who was a naval guy who was war-blinded down in the Falklands. Terry, and he's such a nice guy, and it's like, you know, you're a brotherhood, and you can talk to each other about things you wouldn't normally talk about, to be honest. And that goes through with being with most guys you've served with, and even guys from other conflicts. You find when forces guys get together, it's like a barrier's lifted, and you know, guys will talk more openly and share things that they wouldn't normally do. And sometimes that can be massive therapeutic value to them as well.
What do you do to sort of pass your time? What kind of hobbies do you have that help you, that you find, you know, gives you a bit of escapism?
My passion now is I love car painting. You have bite alarms, which let you know when you're getting a bite and things like that. I find it very therapeutic. I find it relaxes me and helps de-stress me as well, which is brilliant. But I'm very lucky in that I've got a lovely family who are very supportive. And yeah, I've been lucky on that side. You know, my wife's been through a lot over the years, so and she's still with me. And we've got two children and two lovely grandchildren as well.
Have you caught the elusive big one yet, or the one that got away? Is that beyond the end of your line at some point?
Yeah, I've had the one that got away, unfortunately, which is always sad. But yes, it's more about, certainly for myself, yes, you dearly love to catch, but I like being out in that environment and just being with nature and hearing the birds and things like that, and the peace and quiet sometimes, because, you know, you could be on a lake in a fairly built-up area, and yet you won't hear any traffic. It'll still be fairly quiet and things like that and peaceful, which it's just really nice.
Despite everything that's happened, Steve, it sounds as if, you know, things have really come through on the other side. You've worked, you've got your family, you've got your friends, the charities are there if you need that help. Would you say that things have improved maybe better than you thought?
Yes, well, to be honest, because, you know, I didn't really have any expectations. So I've been very surprised with the help and support that's been available. Bear in mind, when I was shot, it was early 80s, and there wasn't really the awareness of the support and everything. So as that's come along, it's been brilliant. And the things that are available to you now are just brilliant, you know. And like what I've said with the help with Blind Veterans, it's been... Oh, do you know you can have this? Certain bits of software where you can use the calendar on there. So you give it a date, and then it's a nice reminder, because part of my effects of the injury as well is my memory's not fantastic. So it's quite handy that it's got a calendar that will remind you of any appointments and things.
Blind Veterans are always, trying to get the word out there, Steve, to people who perhaps have been in the forces, around the forces, who may benefit from their help, or there may be people out there who know, maybe have a friend or a family member who could benefit from your help. What would you say to them if they're maybe a little bit reluctant to ask for that support?
I would always say ask, because at the end of the day, even if you go along and find it's not for you, at least you've tried it, you know, and you could sometimes be very surprised, like myself, at the help and support that is there. And I've got to be honest, the people I've met through Blind Veterans, whether they're staff or other members, are just brilliant. They are really special people. And some of them, you know, have overcome quite major adversity to get to where they are. And their stories are just brilliant. And can I just add that, you know, we lost really good guys during the battle for Darwin and Goose Green. And, you know, it's quite difficult to sometimes understand how I survived. Well, but, yeah, my thoughts will always be with them and their families.
Thank you very much for telling us your story. Thank you for your service as well. But thank you very much for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Lovely. Thank you for your time.